This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. For our next segment today, we're going to do a sort of lightning round on topics related to the great outdoors. We're going to talk about a health hazard that could be blooming in Illinois lakes and rivers. Then Illinois' least favorite fish has new branding. And there are two additional entries on Illinois' absolutely bananas list of official state things. Joining me in studio to talk about all this is my Illinois Public Media colleague, Dana Cronin, who covers agriculture. Dana, welcome back to The 21st Show. Good to talk with you in person.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Listeners, if you are heading out to the lake to try to enjoy the water this summer, or maybe you've tried our least favorite fish, which we're trying to make our favorite fish, I guess, you can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. Also, do you have a favorite on Illinois' crazy list of official state things? 800-222-9455 is the number to join us. That's 800-222-9455. So, Dana, let's start with our more serious topic today, which is toxic algae. First off, what is toxic algae?
So toxic algae is actually not an algae at all. It's a cyanobacteria, which is a type of photosynthetic bacteria that lives in water. And when you combine that cyanobacteria with heat from sunlight and nutrients, typically from fertilizer runoff from, you know, agricultural fields around here, it can cause an algae bloom. And, you know, algae blooms are becoming more and more common here in the Midwest. And not all algae blooms are necessarily toxic, but they can produce a toxin that's common here called microcystin. Microcystin is a liver toxin, and it's a big public health hazard here that is getting worse.
So what happens if you encounter microcystin? Why is that dangerous?
Yeah, so, you know, it depends what level of microcystin you encounter. So lower levels can lead to, you know, symptoms including body rashes, you know, muscle aches, all the way up to like vomiting and gastrointestinal issues. And then if you encounter microcystin in really high levels, it can be fatal, especially for pets. You know, we hear occasionally of dogs dying after swimming in local recreational bodies of water. And, you know, kids, too, are at risk of ingesting these high levels of microcystin.
So how do you know if your lake or river or stream near you has a toxic algae bloom going on?
So that's kind of the scary part. Sometimes you can see them, you know, they are visible eventually, and they kind of look like a slime, like a neon green slime on top of a lake or a pond. So, you know, keep your eyes peeled, but really, like, states really need to be better about testing these waters regularly, because that is really the best way to defend ourselves against this public health hazard.
How does Illinois do in terms of testing?
So not great. Illinois does do some regular testing of this microcystin toxin. They test about 4 to 5 times a year, just kind of a handful of lakes. They don't actually post those results publicly unless microcystin does test at a high level. But, you know, there are other states in the Midwest that are doing a great job of testing, including Nebraska. Nebraska tests like all of its, you know, 50-something recreational lakes every single week throughout the summer. Same with Iowa. Iowa does a decent job of testing their lakes for microcystin. But yeah, Illinois, you know, Illinois could be a bit better.
So what should people do if they think, you know, or they're concerned they might have been exposed to this? Maybe they went swimming and didn't see it, but then, you know, what is that slime over there? Or you start feeling bad. What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it is kind of like a, you know, you find out after the fact if you've been exposed to it. So at that point, you know, call your doctor, definitely. They can, you know, treat that in various ways, depending on what your symptoms are. Test your liver to make sure it's okay. And, you know, also call a poison control center if you think you've been exposed to toxic algae. If you think your pet has been exposed to toxic algae, I'd recommend calling your veterinarian immediately.
Okay. Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are doing a sort of lightning round on outdoor topics today. You can join our conversation if you have a question or comment at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can always find us on Twitter at 21st Show, at 21st Show. Okay, so we are going to pivot wildly to same great taste, new name. And I have to say, for the sake of journalistic integrity, producer Jose wrote that. I have personally not tasted Asian carp, as it used to be known, the fish formerly known as Asian carp. He has. Apparently, it was experimented with in the dining halls at the University of Illinois when he was a student here some years ago. But so there's a rebrand. What's going on?
So, yes, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources has decided that Asian carp will now be known as Kopi, in reference to the copious amounts of them that exist in Illinois waterways.
This is C-O-P-I, Kopi.
C-O-P-I.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Correct. Okay. Correct. And, you know, the idea is, it's actually not a new idea. This has been done for other fish species before that have, you know, either like interesting, non-appetizing sounding names, or where there's just kind of a stigma involved in eating them for whatever reason.
The Patagonian toothfish is,
yes,
my favorite,
yes,
right? Do you know this one?
Yes, I have heard of that one.
It's the Chilean sea bass in a fancy restaurant, mm-hmm, or Patagonian toothfish if you encounter this very ugly looking fish in the wild. Yes.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. So, you know, the idea is that the Illinois Department of Natural Resources is spending about $600,000 on this rebranding effort to encourage Midwesterners to eat Kopi, as it's now known, you know, in an effort to get them out of our water and onto our plates.
Yeah, I can see that at a fancy restaurant, right? Like,
sure.
Oh, would you like the pan-seared Kopi today? Sounds a lot more appetizing than the pan-seared Asian carp. Where did the name originally come from, Asian carp?
So, you know, Kopi were originally imported from Southeast Asia to the United States. They were imported to try to help clean fish farm retention ponds in some of the, you know, southern states in the U.S. And this was kind of back in the 1970s. There was some, you know, flooding and some accidental releases that allowed them to escape those retention ponds, multiply, and kind of migrate up throughout the Mississippi River system. And they flourish here.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you've ever seen them on the Illinois River, and they have that fishing tournament where they're just like flying out of the water and breaking people's noses. They're kind of horrifying. And of course, they want to keep them out of the Great Lakes. So there's this effort to commercialize Kopi. Excuse mm-hmm. me. Ding. What's going on with that? Has this been successful?
You know, as we mentioned, it's been successful in the past with other types of fish, including the Patagonian toothfish, as well as the orange roughy. That was the other one I wanted to mention, which used to be called the slimehead fish.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
Here's another fun fact for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, these efforts have been successful in the past, and it really is a big economic opportunity here in the Midwest because there are copious amounts of Kopi. Sorry.
Checks in the mail.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really an opportunity for the Illinois fishermen to, you know, create this market for this fish and really make some money off of it. I mean, there's a big profit opportunity here.
All right, I want to play a piece of tape, and this is courtesy of one of our member stations, WCBU. Tim Shelley, a reporter there in Peoria, talked to Roy Source, who catches and processes Kopi.
Yes, there basically is 15 million pounds of fish we can harvest in the Peoria Pool area on an annual basis and not make a dent in the population. Then there's another 15 million pounds as you go south in these other pools. So there's an abundant resource that can be utilized in a positive manner as opposed to a negative manner they've been utilized in the past.
15 million pounds. That is a mind-blowing amount of fish. How much would it actually take? I mean, is this a problem we can harvest our way out of?
We'll see. Yeah. I don't know how hopeful people are. But, you know, I did hear a mind-blowing stat that, you know, the I guess 70% of the fish biomass, so like if you weighed all the fish in the Illinois water system, 70% of that is Kopi. They're hoping that this marketing campaign can get that down closer to 10 to 20%. You know, they say that that's the amount that it would take to, you know, solve this problem. So whether we can reduce, you know, the amount of Kopi in our water by that much is, you know, it remains to be seen.
And I know we're early days. Is this, I've read that, you know, Kopi goes into pet food and stuff like that. Will we see it in restaurants? Is that the goal here?
That is the goal. Yeah. In fact, you can go to, I think it's choosekopi.com and find out what local restaurant or what local fish market or grocery store is serving Kopi or is selling Kopi so that you can kind of experiment in your kitchen.
Okay. And wow. So I guess, as I mentioned earlier, and producer Jose is mentioning that the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign has served it to its students. So flagship university, if it's good enough for them, I guess the idea is maybe it's good enough for everybody else. All right. In the time we have remaining, we're going to do another wild, great outdoors pivot here to some recent state designations. This is kind of tangentially nature related, but do you have a favorite state official thing?
Well, I found out that the official state grain is corn in Illinois, and that just seems like super appropriate. I'm an agriculture reporter. I feel like I have to pick that one.
Okay, fair enough. I personally am enamored of the Drummer Silty Clay Loam, which is the official state soil. No farming in my family whatsoever. We're very much city people, but I did play drums in school, so I like the fact that the word drummer's in there. But there are two new official state things. One is an official state rock. What is the official state rock, Dana?
So the official state rock is Dolostone. You know, obviously here in Illinois, there are no big majestic mountain peaks, but Dolostone has been described as a sturdy bedrock, which I think is a good metaphor for us Midwesterners here. So, you know, it's a hard bedrock that lies underneath most of Illinois' glacially deposited soil. And yeah, it forms the majority of the bedrock here in Illinois.
What prompted this designation?
So apparently a group of elementary and middle
school
students,
yes.
Outside of Chicago pushed for this legislation. So, you know, we have them to thank.
The list is really incredible, and I think many of these have been added by students. I know when I was covering the General Assembly more regularly, popcorn was designated the official state snack food. And we were just talking earlier in the newsroom about the official state pie, which is
Pumpkin. Pie.
Yeah, of course, because Illinois is low-key a massive source of pumpkins. So if people, is Dolostone something people can find if they want to like dig it up or
yeah.
get their own for their display of state things?
There are places you can see it in the wild, so to speak. and, you know, there are also places to see it, like it actually, the Old State Capitol building in Springfield is made out of Dolostone.
Perfect.
If you wanted to see
a
nice, beautiful version of it, you know, you can look to that building. But if you want to see it, yeah, in the wild, the Thornton Quarry, about 25 miles south of Chicago.
I-80 there. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a good place to see it, as well as in Chicago's Bridgeport neighborhood. There's an old quarry now turned park where Dolostone is visible to the public.
Oh, fascinating. Okay. Well, for our last new official state thing, I guess I should do a trigger warning. We're going to be talking about a sort of slithery animal that some people may not enjoy hearing about. But Illinois now has an official state snake added to its zoo. What's the story there?
So the new Illinois state snake is the Eastern milk snake, not to be confused with milkshake, which I've already made that mistake myself. But it's a non-poisonous snake, just for all those snake haters out there. And this, again, was a campaign spearheaded by a seventh grader in southern Illinois. You know, these snakes kind of extend. They, of course, exist here throughout the state of Illinois. Illinois and then kind of extend eastward towards the Atlantic Ocean.
Okay. Milk's Name. How did it get the name Milk Snake? And yes, it's like autocorrect is definitely not hip to Milk Snake. But where did the name come from?
So apparently people used to believe that these snakes like drank cow milk. And we can blame farmers for that myth because apparently farmers concocted that story to explain why their cows were producing less milk than usual. They needed to find some excuse for that. So they blamed snakes, and they blamed, I guess, this particular snake, and that's how it got its name.
And I understand this is something else that people can get as a pet. You can get a milk snake. Would you have a milk snake in your menagerie?
I hate to say I'm not the biggest reptile person.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like much more of a fluffy, cute animal kind of person. So that's just me, but go for it. They are non-poisonous and safe and pretty cool. So,
if you say so.
To each their own.
So, yeah. The whole snake pet thing, just not for me. All right. Dana Cronin covers agriculture for Illinois Public Media and Harvest Public Media. Dana, thank you so much for participating in our lightning round today on the Great Outdoors.
This was fun. Thank you, Brian.
Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with travel writer Erica Zazo about building up your outdoor expertise. A lot of people started up outdoor hobbies, be it running, cycling, hiking, camping during the pandemic. Maybe you want to take that to the next level. We're going to talk with her about how you can do that in Illinois and beyond. If you want to join our conversation, share your favorite great outdoor spots in Illinois, we'd love to hear from you. 800-222-9455 is the number to call. That's 800-222-9455. This is The 21st Show. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.